give Sean another moment, and while we don't have any guests, I don't know if any know, but Sean's wife is having a surgery 2 weeks, first week of March. She had a cancer diagnosis. It's an open brain surgery. It's pretty serious. Planning board's aware. Wanted to, you know, let you guys know. But if you need Sean for anything after, just looking at the calendar here, March 4th is the date of the surgery. So, you know, I guess I'll say from the town side of things, we're going to be with probably Joe Burns for a little while on some of the things. But, you know, Sean certainly is trying to just balance his full-time position, helping out the town and everything else. But wanted to let all of you know that. Hey, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, I know Sean announced that at the planning board meeting. And if any of you happen to, you know, try to reach out to him recently and it seems it takes a little bit longer, that's why his wife's been in and out of doctor's appointments, different hospitals, trying to, you know, figure out the best course of action, getting multiple different medical opinions on the best way and best course of treatment.
Who is this, Jay?
Sean, who just signed on.
Sorry about that. I clicked on a link for a meeting some other date at 9 a.m. So it didn't work.
Well, since there were no residents, I was just updating all the board members. Didn't want to steal any of your thunder, but I wanted to let them know that about that. You know, you might be a wee bit busy that first week of March. So hoping everything goes well for you.
Thank you.
You bet. Probably the first thing now that Sean's on. So I got off the phone with Tom Murphy, code enforcement officer, just about 6:30, so just about 45 minutes ago. He sent a letter over to Monaco. So here's the most updated scenario on the Monaco, I guess I'll say, communication. So for the fill permit, Tom is comfortable doing a fill, recommending to schedule the public hearing for the fill permit tonight. The caveat is that the fill that is there is coming from a railroad bed. The New York State DEC permit is for, not for Monaco, it's for a different entity, at least what we have in front of us. So with that being said, the soil that was there was brought up to code enforcement of having concerns of it looking gooey or black. So anyway, that's how Tom got involved in this whole situation. This is in the same location that the planning board has a potential upcoming application for a permit for that plan. But Tom said, at least right now, he says, go ahead and schedule, but he is going to make a recommendation. He's going to request a soil test from Monaco. We don't know what that's going to cost, but that's really for Monaco to determine. But if there is, in fact, contaminated soil being brought into the town of Boston, you know, with it being that stop work order was the correct call, while we try to, you know, sort this out. If it's not contaminated soil, there's nothing really to worry about. But until we get that report and understand what's in that soil, especially because there's a DEC permit involved that clearly does state that there are contaminants, while they're low levels, but there are contaminants. You know, we want to make sure that fill coming into the municipality is in fact proper. So anyway, yeah, just like I committed on the email, talk about the 11th hour. Tom did say, go ahead, move forward with scheduling the permit. If the information is not received or we're not ready to approve it at the March 3rd, am I right? No, I'm sorry, March 2nd town board meeting to approve that permit. The public hearing can still go on. It's just open-ended. Then we'll state that, you know, we're not going to approve the permit at that time because we're awaiting additional information or whatever the course of action is that we need to take. But that won't be determined until we get some more information. So as a preliminary matter tonight, we will be scheduling the public hearing for fill permit. And the way I have it listed, and I'll follow up. I don't see Sandy on. Oh, she is. I'm sorry. Sorry, Sandy. I didn't see you jump on. But I'm going to follow up with Sandy to have the agenda to reflect under preliminary matters to schedule a public hearing for Monaco Enterprises, Inc. for a fill permit. And that date to schedule the public hearing would be March 2nd, 2022. So that's the first order of business.
I just wanted to let you and the board know. So public notice would have to go in. That would not go in until the February 25th. To the Hamburg Sun.
So it wouldn't hit until the 25th?
Correct. And I would just ask for Sean's opinion if that is enough time. And if I'm not mistaken, also on that fill permit, the first page, if it states that the town clerk is to send letters to the property owners in the area.
So five days notice is what's required for that particular permit. It's not the standard 10. So we would literally be coming in just under, right? I'm just looking at.
It's 5 days.
Yes, 5 days. So looking at from if that goes out on the, or is published on the 25th, we've got three, it's exactly 5 days. Is that, would that be acceptable at exactly 5 days, Sean? Or would it have to be five? Okay, so you're shaking your head, yes. So we're okay.
Okay, all right. And then, Sean, if I could, I will reach out to you regarding what property owners need to.
Property owners. Yeah, probably pull that right off of GIS. There's not many parcels over there that would be.
I would just want to make sure that everyone would be notified that needed to be.
Yep.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, I'll have Allison or if you want to pull up a copy of the Erie County GIS mapping system, and we can provide that over to Tom and make sure that, you know, he agrees with everything and kind of get his, you know, sign off, so to speak, on that. Happy to
okay.
do that.
Yep. And I would know the property owners that would be in that area. I would just want to make sure that I am sending, you know, notification to make sure if there's a certain area of property owners that needed to be covered.
Yep. Yeah, we can pull that right off the GIS. No problem at
all. Okay.
Listen, so the DEC has approved the Murano home site for development, and this material is coming from there?
Well, the permit is for Murano. It's not part of the crux of this whole, I hate to call it a scenario, but anyway, the crux of all this is that the permit was approved for Murano and it was not approved for Monaco. So once the soil started hitting there, at least everything that Tom has told me and then in his conversations with the New York State DEC inspector, is that if the fill was going there and it was going to be used as stated in the permit for a parking lot, that's one thing. But they're actually using this fill for the area that has the soon-to-be application in front of the planning board to build a structure on top of. So the permit, you know, there's a lot of missing pieces, and I guess I'll call it miscommunication. I don't know. I'm probably the worst person to speak to on this because, you know, between Tom and you know, his conversations. But essentially, the permit was for DEC, was for Murano, was not for Monaco. And then it said it was going to be for a parking lot, which it's partially true, but also it's going where the new potential structure is, if the planning board should approve that structure. And then, you know, that's really the holdup, because as soon as Tom kind of, I'll be honest, as soon as he kind of tossed the caution flag on the field, everybody, you know, kind of came to a screeching halt. They're like, whoa, what's going on? And that's what brought us to kind of that, I'll call it a screeching halt. Everything came to a stop, and Tom said, we got to figure this out, because he says, you know, looking at the report and the permit, that there is like benzene and other contaminants there. And based on what's looking like in the soil, he thinks it's something more than that, which is why he's waiting for the DEC's response. But he said it's very highly likely that they're going to request, you know, that there's some kind of soil testing from Monaco for that soil to prove that, in fact, what's actually coming in is, in fact, what's on that permit. So it's all coming out of, from my understanding, it's all coming out of a railroad bed area. So it does have a very high likely chance that there's contaminants there between oil and benzenes and, you know, fuel, diesel fuel, things like that. So, but at least, I spoke to Sean tonight, you know, he said, go ahead and move forward, you know, try to keep the ball rolling. Go ahead and toss it on as a preliminary matter tonight. At least we can schedule things. If Tom, DEC, or otherwise come back and say, hey, look, you know, kind of pump the brakes on this a little bit more, at least we can, you know, have the public hearing. We don't close the public hearing on, what did I just say, March 2nd, and we leave that public hearing open pending the additional information or pending the soil report that we as board members would review, and then make that determination whether or not to approve that fill permit process, or fill permit, I should say. So that's where we're at with Monica. I don't know if anybody has any other questions or comments. And then Sandy, did you catch, no comment. Sandy, did you catch, and I can follow up with you in the morning too. So under the preliminary matter, I'll just follow up with you for the formal, I guess I'll call it agenda that gets posted out since it's technically a draft agenda. But I'm going to have the under preliminary matter, item number one would be schedule a public hearing for Monaco Enterprises, Inc. Fill permit for schedule that public hearing for March 2nd, 2022.
Yes, Jason, I did hear that. Do you have a public hearing announcement written up for that? We'll work on that then tomorrow.
I will be working on that after this meeting because I just got off the phone with Tom about 5:30 this evening. The email went out to Monaco. Monaco's aware. Tom did reach out and notify them essentially where we're at, and he's going to make the recommendation to to me to go ahead and add as a preliminary matter. So I guess I'll say everybody's kept in communication as of so far, and yes, that's I can get you all that information tomorrow. I'll knock that.
Sounds great.
No other work is being done down there until he gets his permit?
Not for the fill. There are quite a few trucks that were bringing in fuel. I mean, talk about fast and furious from what we've been told anyway. Take this for what it's worth. This is third-hand information. What we were told that there were quite a few trucks coming in and bringing quite a bit of fill at a relatively rapid pace. It is what it is. It got stopped. Here we are today, and now it's just a matter of identifying if that soil is what was supposed to be sent to Monaco's site or was it not. Because according to Tom, when he made the phone calls, everybody seemed to be relatively kind of like, oh, okay, or they were kind of shocked at what was actually showing up on site. So he says, something's going on there, but he goes, because as soon as I called out that the fill that's coming in is for the permit is for Monaco and or. Jeepers, Murano, sorry, I keep getting the two mixed up. The fill is for Murano, or from Murano, for Monaco. It's Monaco, Murano's name that's on the permit, not Monaco's. So that was never granted for Monaco Enterprises.
I did speak with Kevin Monaco, and just so everybody's aware, he was given the okay by our previous code enforcement officer for that material to come in, and that he was told that he did not need a permit to do so. At this point, the project's 90% of the way completed, and he was great on the phone. He certainly understood that the permit process has changed, but they're thinking when this material became available. The developer wants to complete the project that they're building on, and Kevin and his brother decided, let's do this now because we have people have their windows closed. We can avoid making a mess on the road. We can avoid the noise. We can avoid all this. And with the blessing of code, they move forward with it. So, Kevin wanted me to convey to the board certainly that he wasn't trying to, circumvent the system as far as, the fill permit process. But, when you make decisions based on bad information, you get into situations like this. So I wanted everybody to have the benefit of that information in the conversations I've had with Kevin.
Now, thank you for that.
From what I saw from the fill information given by the DEC to Murano, there's a lot more in there than just general soil. And from what I understand, planning board wise, there's a building that's supposed to be put there that really needs to go through planning board. That should have been the first step, not filling it and then going to planning board. The fill would be part of the project. What are you bringing in? Where are you bringing it? What do you need to do with it? So there's other issues around that. And I know the planning board is involved in that now. So hopefully they'll see a site request plan coming through. So I'm glad that we're following the code, regardless of what happened before. I don't know why he said it was okay when we all know a fill permit is necessary. And we all went through this very recently. So I'm not sure why that got missed, but we're moving forward and making sure we do it the right way for Mr. Monaco's purposes, right, and ours and our residents. So I just want to make sure that the code is being followed. And he is making suggestions on revising codes and the way that they're being, the way that they read, because it is so convoluted. Even this part, the fill, it's so convoluted. Nothing against you, Sean, but you need to be a lawyer to read it and digest it and act on it. So I know he reached out to Sean because that's what I recommended myself, because I couldn't even figure that out. So he, I know Mr. Murphy had reached out to Kevin to apologize for the holdup, but we want to make sure that we do it the right way. So, and he was humble enough to say thank you. But yeah, we want to make sure we do it right.
I thought the code read that anything that came from inside town, you didn't need a permit, but anything that came from outside of town, you needed a permit. Am I right or wrong?
Phil moved from inside to town. Phil is provided by the town or through the town, you don't need a permit. Otherwise, you need a permit if you're just, you know, storing it on your property, and storage is, you know, fairly broadly defined as, if you're putting it on your property and planning to keep it there, it's storage of fill, which right now is what's going on. The code contains something of an exception for fill that's necessary for a project, a building project, you know, that presumably would have a permit. So, for example, in the case of a project that's going to get site plan approval, they would not necessarily need a separate fill permit. If they, you know, if that was reviewed during the site plan approval process, the town board would just, you know, approve the permit, because it would have an opportunity at the planning board stage during their review, and then the town board, you know, presumably would consider the fill aspect in connection with its review. Where there is no pre-existing permit, though, for a project, a fill permit would be needed. And I'm sure on this particular case that it will get sorted out, and everyone seems to be acting, you know, very reasonably and working well together.
All right, anything else we want to discuss on Monaco? All right, so I'll move along. On the topic of, I'll call it land, the land use, is the board want to entertain, I know this is something we talked about pre-COVID, then COVID hit, and it truthfully just went to the back burner, but the land lease for the land across the street from the old trooper barracks, next door to the trooper barracks. Are we all comfortable putting that out to a bid process this year to try to get, you know, see if there's any local farmers that are interested in leasing that for a number of years? I see everybody shaking their head. All right. So I'll add that to mine and Sean's punch list of things to work on there. So that will go out to basically the bidding process. It'll be bid a little bit different than the way it was done in the past. I've spoken to two of the past historical farmers on it. They said it is a little bit different process. We can't just give it away for a dollar like it was. It's fair value. So anyway, that information will all come out to all of you guys once we start working on that. I have an email from the person's name is Tawny Bowers. They would like to put a they would like to put a vending machine at the town hall for the town to have access to use for while using facilities at the town hall. It looks like they're looking at trying to put something over by the snack shack and also possibly inside town hall. I don't know what everybody's thoughts are. Feel free to chime in your thoughts, opinions. I did speak with Sean on this shortly after the email came in. We do have basically a contractual agreement that we would highly encouraged, but we'd require them to fill out and complete, basically, you know, waiving us from liability, things of that nature. But I guess I'll say the only only entity that I know that would might have some concerns with a vending machine outside, especially over by the Snack Shack, would probably be the Boston Patriots football, because that's a source of revenue for them. But what's everybody's thoughts? Is this something we want to move forward on, or do we want to let them know, you know, thanks, but keep us in mind for maybe someday down the road?
I would be against the whole vending machine outside the Snack Shack, cutting off the Patriots, follow their revenue stream. I don't think that's cool. Not only that, but being vandalized, we've had problems with the park being vandalized. You know what's going to happen. Just my two cents.
Couldn't have said it better, Kelly. That's the first thing that came to my mind. But
I agree with Kelly. I think it would just be inviting, you know, opportunities for theft and vandalism, unfortunately.
Okay. Ditto.
What's everybody's thoughts about on the inside town hall?
Wouldn't you want to see if the bank, the Evans Bank that we do business with, because each of those vendors are from, I believe, a different bank. If you go into a restaurant or any business and stuff, they have those coin the machines and stuff, but there are different entities that they're related to. Wouldn't we check with Evans Bank to see if they would want to put something like that in the town hall before we go outside of town?
Well, these are for vending machines for, like, food and drinks, Rich, not a ATM.
Okay.
There was an ask for an ATM. Actually originated from the court office. And so people were asking if they were to post, let's say, cash bail or, you know, pay their fine in cash. And when we looked into the logistics of it and even partnering with Evans Bank, they said, you don't. Evans were basically, they talked me out of it, truth be told. They said, you don't want a machine there. They said, what it would actually cost you, what we would basically charge as part of a fee. They said, you don't want that there. Send them down to Crosby's ATM. But it's, you know, the request here from this Tawny Bowers was for food and beverage machines, either inside town hall or outside for public consumption, I'll say.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No problem.
On the inside, I mean, if the town hall current employees think there would be a need for it, that you'd actually use it, I have no problem with that.
I don't know if anybody's seen the little, I call it the snack box. It's up in the mailroom. I mean, don't get me wrong. It gets used, but it's not like, I've yet to, maybe if there's a wider selection, maybe more, town employees would use it. But even that box, I can tell you there's times that that it sits full for a while. Let's say somebody missed their lunch or gets stuck at the town hall late. I'm guilty of it. You know, if I'm stuck here, I'll go grab a bag of chips or something before I go home. So. All right. Well, I will let them know that it sounds like a no on that. I had a meeting this afternoon, actually, with the Boston Lions. So the Boston Lions are going to be coming to us at the next board meet, or I should say, we'll be submitting an application for use of facility, because they are looking at bringing back Oktoberfest after many years of it not being here in the community. The date is August 27th from 2 to 8. I explained that they needed an insurance binder to cover that event, because there will be alcohol involved. There will be, as we would imagine, a relatively large turnout. At least as of the conversations from the Lions Club, right now we're looking at somewhere between 300 to 500 people. So I mean, we're talking about anticipating a large scale event, but to control the costs and everything else, just because in some of the conversation today, it's just the state of affairs of our world, getting food and other supplies can be quite challenging. So, well, I think at least the process right now is pre-sale tickets only, nothing at the door. And basically, this would basically be the headcount and how it's going to, this is how things are shaping up. This is very early, but they were looking to try to lock in that date with us. I know Bob's on the call. I didn't know if any board members had any concerns, but I just want to give everybody a heads up. This is a pretty large event that the Boston Lions are looking to try to bring back to the community. They would have to submit a parking plan too. I should have mentioned that. And that would be something that would have to be reviewed.
I have a question. Why did they stop doing it?
Because it actually became more expensive to run it. They weren't bringing in money. The whole idea that originally was started to be as a fundraiser for the Lions Club, and the last time that they had it, and we're going back many moons, it actually cost them money. They lost money on the event. So now the plan is pre-sale tickets only, no one at the door. So now, especially in the state of a pandemic where, you know, everything from food and, one of the discussions was, I'm probably getting into a lot of detail here, but anyway, basically the cost of entry would give you a plastic mug and then a food ticket and one beer ticket. So we know that if Jason Keating shows up and says, hey, I want a ticket, it's going to cost X amount of dollars. The X amount of dollars not only will cover the cost of that one pour for the beer and the food and the entrance and all those associated costs, but then bring in X amount of dollars for, you know, profit because it's a fundraiser. So we have to they're working on hammering down those associated costs. Of course, they need a venue to put it. Being in Boston, they said, let's try to bring it back. It's during the summer, the window of the summer concert series, so the stage will already be set up. So for the German band, they'll have the stage, and it'll be kind of, the hope is it'll be a bit just like the old days, but everything will be pre-sale. There will not be anything at the door, unfortunately, just because it's the best way to control the costs right now. So we know if the club knows that they have 200 people showing up, they need to have enough beer for, 200 people plus that extra drink. And that's the other idea, is that one beer ticket gives you that first drink, and now you're kind of self-policing yourself, because if you want to top off your mug again, it's basically a cash bar, and that's the fundraiser, the other portion of the fundraiser aspect of it. But since we're in Boston Lions, respectfully, they are in the early discussions, all this, just wanted to bring it in front of the board, let everybody know. I know it's been kicked out on Facebook a couple of times, and I said, look, we haven't even, the town board has not received a use facility permit, nor have we received the insurance. So really, before you go too much further on this, you got to pump the brakes on us and, get that use facility and get the insurance. So the big takeaway from one of the club members today was to get the insurance binder, likely from Jennifer Warren, and get that paid for, and then submit that use facility, as I told them. So if they can get it in, we'll get it on the March 2nd agenda and, for review and consideration of approval. So just wanted to let the board know that that's actually one of two big events that I've got to tell you about tonight, but didn't know if anybody had any concerns, reservations, comments, questions.
Can I ask a question?
I think it's great.
21 and older, by the way.
Can I ask a question?
I think it's great to get everybody together.
Go ahead, Bob.
Can I ask a question? Oh, go ahead, Bob. Hey, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Is it possible to get it on, at least on the calendar, so if any conflict comes up between now and then, at least the club would be aware of it? I guess that question is for Sandy.
What's the date?
August 27th. You and I chatted about this, Sandy, before once, and you said there's nothing there, but that could have changed.
Yeah, I believe I put a sticky note on there already.
Thank you, Sandy.
Welcome.
Do you know if they're talking about rides or no rides? Because when we originally set it up and stuff and had this thing going with bands coming in on weekends and rides and stuff, what happened, and it wasn't every night, but what happened is one weekend we had a really big rainstorm. Well, if you know those machines and rides, it tore up the fields and everything else, and that was one of the problems, because the highway department or the parks or anybody else did not want to go in there and repair all those fields, all the money that's taken in there and all the ruts and everything else that they caused trying to get them out of there. So that was one of the processes of why we ended up at the Erie County Fairground.
So
it went out of Boston.
This is Oktoberfest is going to be basically beer, a German band, food, and friendship, we'll say.
Okay.
If anybody's ever been to the Hofbrauhaus, great time. Think of that, but out in our beautiful parks, hopefully for the beautiful weather. So that's that. Yeah, no rides, because that was one of the concerns that they had talked about in the very planning stages.
Yep, because that was one of the things that took it out of Boston to begin with.
All right, moving along. So that was that. The other big event, actually, I had a pretty lengthy meeting with Ralph from Raphael's, who's now up over in Hamburg. Of course, he's a Boston resident. But Ralph popped in the other day and wanted to pitch. He's looking to do a car show event here in the town. The date that he's shooting for is August 14th. I also provided him a copy of our use facility, also advised of the insurance requirement, which he said, no problem, we'll work on that. His event is going to be huge. And when I say huge, if this really comes together and Ralph makes this happen, he would like, if anybody was ever over at the Speedway that he used to own, the Sunday Niagara show that was over there could easily be 300 to 500 cars sometimes. And there is, professional judges judging the cars. It is not like other car events where you just, Jason had a car, I just enter it. And I mean, this is actually a true sanctioned event. But anyway, Ralph wanted to bring it to Boston. He said, he would love to try to help support the local businesses and all. But again, August 14th would be the date. He wants to call it Sunday Niagara in Boston, the In Boston Show. He's planning on somewhere between 300 to 400 cars at least. He's working with sponsors and other groups to try to make this happen. He's looking from like a 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Window. Basically 9 to noon is your registration, and then noon to 4 would be the show portion of it. And I explained to Ralph, I said, I think it sounds great, but I got to tell you, 300 cars alone sitting in town property. And I'm just looking at my notes here. He said each car would need approximately like a 10 by 20 area. So that way, if somebody was to open up their doors, they're not dinging the paint on the car next to them, or two doors open up, they're not hitting each other. Since I got the camera and we're not in person yet. So I said, that's a huge footprint. And I said, and the biggest issue is going to be parking. Cause you're going to create something that's going to have a draw. So I told him to kind of, basically think over the parking situation, because I said, I just don't know where he's going to put all these cars, truth be told. And I told him, I know Boston Fire, they worked out an agreement with Capolino. None of our business here is town board members. But I said that Boston Fire worked out an agreement with Capolino that people could park there for their annual gun raffle. And, buses would move people back and forth. I said, maybe that's a solution. I don't know. So anyway, we brainstormed for, truthfully about an hour, hour and a half. But that is something he would like to bring to Boston. He said he wants to bring the community together, get people out, get people doing things. And, again, sounds like a great event, but that will, in my opinion, that'll certainly be big if we're having just 300 show cars arrive at this event. Any thoughts, concerns, opinions on that one?
I think it's great. We got the space in the park for easily that many cars. And if they're going to do, bands and things like that and, make it a public event, I mean, people will come out for that, and for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be big.
If your parking lot is full of show cars and the people are coming to see it, what's the possibility of, I know I brought it up before, and it was not the time or the place, and it isn't right now because we've got a foot of snow on the ground. But what happens if we maintain and take care of town property, which I think we should be doing right now anyway? We do all these cemeteries that we have to do, and ride places and everything. Why not mow that area over there where the state super barracks is, and people could park in there and walk across the street?
Well, that area over by the trooper barracks is likely going to be leased out this year.
But if it is, yeah. But if it isn't, then it's a possibility.
But we don't have a way to get over there, though. That's the big you know, I mean, as far as parking goes, the whole reason that that gate system was put up over there is because National Fuel said that the just the vehicles going across that, it wasn't, that area and that ground was never designed to support constant vehicle traffic. You know, if it was their service vehicle, that was one thing. But when we had that windstorm and, you know, it is what it is, you know, we weren't aware. Okay. We'd go ahead and drop over there. That's why that gate system went in over there, because National Fuel had pretty strong concerns about the their main gas line being potentially cracked or ruptured. That's how that gate system went in. Not a bad idea. It's just a matter of how to get people over into that spot.
I understand. I thought the gate system was put in there because of people dumping all the wood and stuff out of there and us finally having to pay to get it out of there.
Well, that's what started it. But the behind the scenes, what happened? The town, I'll say, received a kind of a nasty gram from National Fuel saying, "What are you doing? You know, do you realize that that's a, you know, yes, it's a right of way, and yes, vehicles go over it, but for, you know, heavy equipment or a truck that has a full load of wood in it, it's not designed to withstand that kind of weight and you know, that type of traffic." So I asked them. I said, "Oh, hey, would you be willing to put up a gate there?" Which solved the issue of people dumping at night.
Yep.
Which, it was a problem back at that point, and at their expense, they popped up a gate. So,
okay.
So if this is something he's been a part of before, let's see what his plan is.
Exactly.
In the map, and then we'll delineate them.
Yep. Well, he's got a person that's going to coordinate all that, so that's why I told him. I said, come back to, you know, pitch us your plan. You know, it's not our job. Come up with this is your event,
right? And where's the visitors going to be parking? Where do you, how do you want the in and the out, right? The flow,
right? And I did show him on our, in the town's use facility form, that he does have to present to the town board / town highway superintendent the parking plan as well,
right?
So that's all clearly on that document. And so Ralph,
and Ralph, when was he looking at doing this? What month?
What did I tell you? August 14th.
Oh, so before the Oktoberfest.
Yes.
So hopefully it wouldn't be all wet and the ground won't be all muddy, because then our parks and lawn is going to be ruined and we'd have to figure all that out.
August is the iffy month. Was September,
I would normally say, you know, we'd ask them to fix it, but that's not what we're here for. So, would applaud that. I love car shows. Been a part of them since I was a kid. But I would just like the plan. And hopefully it's a dry month.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm walking around with the beer in my hand.
Well, he's excited. And I told him, we're here. Just submit it to us. All right. Just a quick time check. We got about 15 minutes here. The ASI grant for our summer concert series. Very happy to. I think I'm pretty sure Allison sent this out to you, and if not, my apologies. We were awarded $2,500 again this year for the arts and cultural grants. So we're town of Boston made the Arts and Services Incorporated website. They were named out there that we were given money. So. That'll be a nice way to keep that cost down for the summer concert series. I sent out to all of you the New York Municipal Insurance Reciprocal, our insurance audit. They came out, they reviewed us. They said everything went very well. They said, thank you so much for actually listening to what they ask us to do. But the big takeaways for us this year is for bleachers over 30 inches, they need to have a back and side rails. You know, this is something that schools, towns, everybody's getting, I guess I'll say, kind of in the spotlight on. But we need to either A, put the cages around the bleachers, or B, this is something actually Scott, and I'm presuming Bob's aware of this because Scott's told me about it. But anyway, Scott's been slowly trying to cycle out the bleachers that would need to cage for nicer, newer bleachers, but they're not as high because not a lot of the sport. Most of the parents, when they show up to the games, whether it's soccer, baseball, or even football, most people are bringing bag chairs and not even sitting on the bleachers. So anyway, that's just something that was rated as a high severity. So that's something that we need to kind of put on our punch list of things to accomplish this year and get that addressed. And then the age-old wooden football bleachers, they all need to go away because they were deemed as completely unsafe due to the age, condition of them, et cetera. So There is a kind of a conversation that we talked a little bit about this, I think, once before. But I did confirm with Boston Patriots football that, according to them, I would like to get something in writing personally. But they say that those are town bleachers. They're not football's bleachers. So if that's the position they take, it makes it a little bit easier on us because there's an assumption that they may be football's bleachers, that they were put in by them or maybe even paid for by them. And I just told them, I said, hey, would you mind just drafting me up a letter, put something on your letterhead, signed off by the commissioner stating those are town bleachers. And if that's the case, we know how to move forward and decommissioning those. So other than that, we did pretty well. Everything from our safety data sheets to trying to think what else hit our previous audits. Safety data sheets was the big one. Our boiler room, they had concerns about how some of the things were laid out in there and wired. So when Michelle walked through, we did very well. And she said, our town clerk, quote unquote, our town clerk's office and our laborer are wonderful people and that they're an asset to have for our community. So kudos to Sandy and her team. And as we all know, Sean Vanderoat for his work and effort and trying to keep the town hall buttoned up. And there's a perfect segue to buttoned up. With the freeze-thaw cycle recently, we lost our two back gutters to the town hall. Pat White is currently out of the area. He's enjoying sunny Florida at the moment. So we've got a call out to a couple different contractors to try to get gutters back up before we start getting into that rainy season so we don't have any damage to our building. But anyway, the ice did rip it down. What we think is happening is that it basically caked up around the outside and the inside. I mean, the heat tape where it was, and there's a small little hole, but there's just so much ice that built up around the outside. It continued to overflow. The weight just merely tore it down. And that happened over by the corner of the building by the community room and the actual town hall building, and then over by the corner that's just outside the window of the bookkeeper's office. So we'll get that fixed. We did a repair, just to keep everybody in the loop, we did a repair to the heating system upstairs. There's a valve that was sticking, they called it a quarter of the way open, which basically meant that the town hall was getting really cold. Got that repaired, got that fixed. That's all taken care of. And then we've had a couple small areas. Our standard leak that's up top, we'll probably have to get a roofing company out to look at our town hall roof because the age-old leak over by the cupola that has been there for, I can't begin to tell you how many years. It seems like you think we find it. We try to source where it's coming from. We think we have it, and we can't catch it. Pat White's been out there. We've had roofing companies out there fixing it. We're going to probably have to bring somebody back because we had quite a bit of water coming in the last thaw. And with our current weather tonight into tomorrow, I'm hoping we don't get any more water or damage. But time will tell what Mother Nature does to us. And that's all the building stuff that I have. I don't know if there's a whole lot of correspondence. Obviously, we didn't have the last board meeting, a whole lot of correspondence. Don't know if anybody has any comments there. And I think all of our new business is pretty self-explanatory. Item number two is the only one that kind of a recent addition. The community development block grant funds, we had approved that. And with Sean reviewing LaBella's proposal and the information, we agreed that based off our municipal procurement policy to have a separate resolution. We will formally authorize and approve that service. So that's where the money is coming from. So, you all are aware. But basically, that's what we're approving. And the dollar amount that LaBella came to the table with for their services was actually less than what Connie had put in the initial proposal, for full disclosure and transparency there. Item three is update our water fountains, out with the old, in with the new water fountains, something we talked a little bit about. We finally got our last quote there, and then the use of facilities. So we got 15 more minutes. I don't really have too much else to talk about, so I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to bring up or want to talk about.
With the water fountains, so the total cost would be that they would remove the current ones and put in and take care of those, like dispose of those properly on our behalf, and then install the new ones, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the electrical, the water, and the refrigerant kind of stuff, they'll do all of that?
Yes. Current water fountains are merely tied into our galvanized pipe system.
Yeah, the new ones, though.
Yeah, and the new ones will have power. There is power close by both of those that can be tapped into.
Okay.
Ones will have an actual filter on it. You know, so there will be a little bit of a, if you will, an O&M operation and maintenance cost, you know, going forward for the town. But I guess what I'll chalk it up to, jump into one of the senior group meetings and ask them if they ever drink water out of the water fountain. Nine times out of 10, they're saying they don't like the taste of it. They don't like how it is.
The new one has a nice filter to it. So these will have better filters.
So they'll have better tasting water. Allison, Ellie, and I, and even Sean, we mulled over potential cup costs because it's not a regular water fountain with a spigot that you drink from. It's just you would fill your water bottle or a cup. The nutrition program and senior programs, they have coffee cups down there. They also have cups down there. But as far as the general public, the next question is, do we want to consider some kind of a dispenser for small paper cups? Don't know if it's necessary. My thought is, I can tell you, over in the town of Aurora, their new town hall that's over there, they don't have cups there. For a little while, they actually put them on top of the machine and just let them kind of sit there. But they said after a few months, nobody used them. Predominantly, it was town hall staff and people who are there for events that are using them. And nine times out of 10, they're filling up their water bottle or a coffee mug or something along those lines. So, you know, we can take that one step at a time, but that's what that's all about, is that there's been an ask from the seniors saying that water is quote unquote awful. Can you do something about it? And this is what the cost is to do something about it.
So Jason, is that two of them? One is upstairs and one is downstairs? Two, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. When we figured, depending on how it goes and depending on how the North Boston Park goes just outside the restroom / comfort stations at North Boston Park, it will have a very similar type of water fountain. If those tend to go well, maybe we'll look at doing something, you know, over here in the snack shack or truthfully, even down in Highway. Highway has a water fountain. Did reach out to the folks down in Highway. They said they're happy with what they have, but I'm not opposed if it's something that they would like. Let's explore that opportunity at some point.
I think it's long overdue.
Come on up. I think we could probably find those water fountains, I don't know, on some collector site. That's that. Anything else we got? And I'm sorry, I know some of you don't like wearing a tie. You know, I know Mike doesn't like wearing a tie, but I know I try to wear a tie for board meetings. I didn't even make it home tonight, so. Went to the town hall, figured I'd be home for dinner. That didn't happen. Life goes on.
I'm eating my dinner now.
Sounds good to me. I haven't had anything since lunch.
Well, you kept talking about food, so I tried.
Yeah, so I was talking about German food, too.
Have we heard any more updates from the county on our problem on
Zimmerman,
yeah, the ice.
Yep, it's actually all in your board packet, Rich. Items number, so we've got items number, basically item number 7. So Sean and I, Sean did the work of it here, but we discussed it. I had the pictures. The county has all the pictures of the ice and the conditions of that road that we discussed. And Sean drafted up a letter, sent a certified mail to Erie County. And that's where at the last board meeting, if you recall, I made the comment that I thought it was kind of interesting that the legal counsel for Erie County ended up looking up on LinkedIn just the day before we were sending. I was like, how the heck did he know? Well, anyway, that letter went. Deputy Commissioner Karen Hoke submitted a response, and I'd have to go back to my email because I did take a picture of it. But the picture that's also in that board packet, the sign that's there, went up, I would say, probably within about 5 days of receipt of that letter. Basically just states that it's an icy pavement zone. I actually spoke to Gina Wick, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Witikowski, just this morning. For some reason, we received a check for Chestnut Ridge Road. There's a guardrail that went down, and the money was supposed to go to the county. Instead, for some reason, it was mailed to the town. God only knows why. But anyway, I had to call Gina because it was addressed to her and find out where I had to send that. And we were talking about that. So Zimmerman Road, there is a plan in the spring to get that taken care of. Gina says okay. She doesn't have anything on her desk of what's going to be done. But she said she would try to work with both the commissioner and deputy commissioner to figure out what they're going to do to fix that. And then also, just I guess I'll say for an update for the board, a few other things that we've talked about was there was a resident concern about, this is probably about 2 months ago now, 3 months ago, about the concern of traffic speed and a request for a traffic speed study over by the North Boston Garage. And the county had committed to putting up chevrons. So if you're you know, coming around that bend, you would be alerted to the fact that there's a bend there. Hopefully it would slow down. But based, if you remember the conversation, that based off of the traffic, the most recent traffic study and the length of road and the speed that's there, that they were not going to entertain a reduction in speed. So anyway, those chevrons are going to go in there. There's going to be chevrons on Chestnut Ridge Road coming down the hill where that guardrail was taken out by a motor vehicle that went off the road. And that is all we discussed there besides the check that was incorrectly sent here from Geico.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. But it's been much better. I probably the most amount of trucks I've seen, county trucks that is, I've seen on Zimmerman Road in a long time. They seem to have a lot more attention on it now. We haven't had as bad ice in weeks. Probably the best it's been in a couple of years.
Jason, I did have a question that was regarding the PenFlex service award points.
Yes, go ahead.
Yep, the Boston EMS, we received that along with North Boston Fire Company. I know that the EMS does have a date of the March 1st for board approval, but I mean, there's been no opportunity for the board to look at the activity that was there for the Boston EMS, the members.
Right. Yep. Go ahead. You're probably going to say what I'm going to say, so go ahead.
You go ahead. I didn't know how you wanted to handle that. I know you have longer for the fire companies, but this EMS has a March 1st date on that. But, of course, we just received this late, you know, last week, and there was no time for the board to review it.
Yes. So in speaking with PenFlex, what the board can do is, and if we can just, as you pass by the town hall, if you just pop in, just like we've done with the 284 agreement and other things, you can take a, just kind of review everything. Again, it's just a high-level audit from the board, because under the PenFlex agreement, that it's posted by the organization, it's reviewed by the organization, and as board members, we're just simply saying, okay, we look at it, it looks correct to us based off of what's submitted, and we autograph that one page that we've done. Historically, yes, we have done a resolution in those cases, kind of a nice way to keep it, the way I look at it, to keep it clean, no matter of board record. But since they just turned it into us, we got 5 minutes. I'm just looking to see who our audience is here. Okay, so based off the audience that we have here in the work session tonight, I'll share this. If you didn't happen to know, Don O'Brien, he came down with COVID. He was in the hospital for a length of time. I'm glad he's rebounded on it. But there were some challenges there, just internally paper flow. That, so anyway, Sandy's correct. We just received it. There was not enough time for any of us, truthfully, to review this document and the timeline that was needed. So, you know, we've got a little bit of time. I mean, today's the 16th, so we're looking at seven, eight, nine. We got roughly, you know, we got 11 days before it has to be turned in. So I'll ask Sandy via this call. She can just drop it on the mailroom table. And again, if you're passing by town hall, if you can just pop in, take a look at it. If you agree with what's there, there's the blue sheet that you're used to signing at the town board meeting. And you'll see in there in bold print that, you know, we can just review it. We do not necessarily need a resolution. And if you agree with it, autograph it, date it, and we'll get it back, turned back over to the squad so they can submit it for the next steps. And then for the fire companies, we did receive, correct me if I'm wrong, no. Sandy, North Boston's?
Correct.
Yes. So we've got North Boston's there as well. Feel free, you know, to review it. Since we have a little bit more time for North Boston, I'd like to try to get wait for Boston and Patchen to get their data into us, and then we'll continue our standard process of getting a resolution for those and have those approved at that time. But while you're there, if you want to sign off on those, feel free.
Okay, then I will leave them in the mail room.
There will be the
service award program list of the members on there, and then it will be a blue form that each board member will sign.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Like as early as tomorrow?
We have until March 1st to review and sign the document. It literally came in, kind of like Sandy said, it came in last minute for us. There's no way to get it out to all of you as a board to review it. And, it is what it is. We still have more than enough time to get it back over to them. And Don O'Brien, Don O'Brien / Carla. Carla's the new, what's her title this year? She's the director of operations off the top of my head. Either one of them can stop by the town hall and pick it up once we all sign off on it. And I did confirm all of that with the person's previous name. Kathy probably remembers Howard Bittner for many, many moons at Benflex. But Howard has since retired, and I can't remember Jason's last name, but off the top of my head. But there's a new person who's taking over, and he's our point of contact for the folks over at Benflex. And I don't know, we got 2 minutes left. I did have a conversation with Linda Sherry. I don't know if you happen to see the dog control officer report yet. I'm presuming you did since it's in your packet, but if not, take a look at it. She's been going through the list and cleaning things up. Wow, what a difference. So you can see based off the calls that she's been making to residents, our dog licenses have increased. Surprise, surprise. There's the whole purpose and premise of a dog enumeration. But yeah, she said everything's going very well. And just so you all know, she's going to get a quote from one of her friends. She said they live here in town. I'm guessing it might be Kathleen Paulette, who details automobiles. I don't know if any of you happen to know her or have used her before for car detailing. She wanted to get the inside of the van detailed and cleaned because there was a odor of cigarette smoke and all in there. So I told her, give me a price. If it's something, that's reasonable, let's get it done and taken care of. So that's that for dog control. She does have the same request, just so you all know. While we've got like 1 minute left, she does have a request in similar to what Gordon had requested of us for the BAS software, the dog control computer system that Hamburg and other municipalities use. She said that it would truly make her life a heck of a lot easier. So that would be something, we can certainly start discussing, possibly this year or even, if we want to stagger it out the next year, budget into next year. But again, we all know what happened with sales tax and some of the other things. So, we can look at options and start pricing that out. And most importantly, I told her to work with Sandy because Sandy has, Sandy's office, works in tandem with dog control for records and dog licenses and things of that nature. So I just want to make sure if we spend taxpayer money, that the two systems talk to each other and we're not creating more work for, let's say Sandy's office if it doesn't, work smoothly with her system. So. All right. I see that it's 7:30. So I will call.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
All right, so it is 7:30, Wednesday, February 16th, and I will call the meeting to order.
Jason, the notification through GoToMeeting said this conference call is no longer being recorded.
Okay, so I'm showing that it is recording. Yeah. I've got the red light.
Yeah, the record is up at the top.
Yeah, I hit it once, and it wasn't responding, I hit it again, and that's... Thank you for telling me, and I think that's what happened. It looks like it's recording. You should all show on your screens that the call is being recorded, hopefully. Yeah, I see everybody shaking their heads. So,
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States,
of America, and to
and
the Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Tonight we have one item under number four under preliminary matters tonight, and we do have one preliminary matter, which is to schedule a public hearing for Monaco Enterprises Incorporated for a fill permit. I'd like to schedule that public hearing for March 2nd, 2022 at 7:35 p.m. That's all I have for that minute. So I'd like to make that motion to schedule the public hearing.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much. All right, item number two under regular business tonight. Item number one is the correction and adoption of the minutes from the January 19, 2022 town board meeting. And Councilman Cardicchini, would you like to take those items tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I've had the opportunity to review the minutes from our meeting on January 19th, and I make a motion that we adopt them as written.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number two under regular business tonight is the consideration of all fund bills. And Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take those items?
Yes, Supervisor, thank you. I had a few minutes to look over the fund bills for February, and the payables. I make a motion to approve the payables totaling $207,501.35.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving along. Item number three is correspondence. We have quite a bit of correspondence tonight. The first piece of all these items have been received and filed in the town clerk's office. The first item is a letter from the Economic Development Corporation from Erie County. That's been received and filed in the clerk's office. Item number two is a resignation letter from Code Enforcement Officer William Ferguson. Item number three is a letter from legislator John Mills for the Community Development Block Grant. Item number four is a letter from legislator Mills for the Waste Management at Your Door program. Item number five is a letter from Erie County Department of Environment and Planning for the Division of Environmental Compliance. Item number six is the letter from NYMER, which is the New York Municipal Insurance Reciprocal, for recommendations for the town of Boston for our insurance review. Item seven is a letter from Municipal Council Sean Costello regarding the notice of defect, County Route 437 Zimmerman Road, and responsive letter from Erie County Department of Public Works. And just so the public is aware, this is the matter of the ice that was on Zimmerman Road just up over the 219 Expressway. So if anybody has any questions, they can try to take a look at that, close that correspondence. Item number eight is a letter of thanks from the Boston Free Library. Item nine is the January 2022 Town of Boston Bug Control Officer Report. Item number 10 is the January 2022 Town Clerk's Report. Item 11 is the December 2021 Preliminary Income Statement. And the last piece of correspondence that was received and filed with the Town Clerk is the January 2022 Income Statement for the Town Board. All right, and that's all we have for correspondence tonight. So moving on to new business, item number one is request from the floor. I will open the floor. If any callers are on the phone, just some housekeeping items is that it's star six to unmute your phone if you've muted your phone. And please state your name, address, and you have 3 minutes to speak.
Jay Jackson, 7964 Back Creek Road. An update on some COVID-19 statistics. At this time last month, the county was reporting between 2,000 and 2,500 cases daily. In recent history, like within the last couple of days, that number has dropped down below 100. We seem to be turning a corner. Let's hope. Thank you.
All right, I'll just pause one more moment. I do see that we do have a couple of callers on tonight. Again, if somebody would like to speak, it's star six to unmute your phone, star six to remute your phone, kindly, after you're done speaking. If you do choose to speak, you have 3 minutes, and please state your name and address. All right, without further comment, I'll close the floor. Moving along under new business, item number two is resolution 2022-11 to authorize professional service agreement with Labella and Associates for construction of the North Boston Town Park Restroom Pavilion. I'll take this item. I'd just like to make a motion to approve the resolution 22-11 authorizing professional services from Labella. This is coincides with the another resolution that the town board had approved regarding the North Boston Park Community Development Block Grant Funds, and this is for the professional services, engineering services for that project. I'd like to make a motion to approve that resolution.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number three tonight is resolution 2022-12, which the update the town hall water fountains. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-12 for the installation of two new LK bottle fill stations in the town of Boston Town Hall, which would be entering the supervisor to sign a contract with Bassinet Heating and Roofing for a total cost of $5,500.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
And Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number four tonight under new business is the application for use of town meeting facility for the Young at Heart seniors. And Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Yes, Supervisor. We received an application for use of town meeting facility for Young at Heart seniors. They would like to use the town hall community room without the kitchen on the second and fourth Fridays of the month. For their senior meeting starting at 1 p.m. Madam Clerk, are those dates available?
Yes, they are.
And I make a motion to approve this use of facility.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducani?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
And Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, the last item under new business, item number five tonight, is a application for use of facility for Brian and Claudia Collins, and there's a date change from June 25th to July 1st. And Councilwoman Lukacik, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Brian and Claudia Collins would wish to use the Lion Shelter, requesting to have a DJ or band as part of that with the bathroom facilities. On July 1st, 2022, starting at 2 p.m., ending at 11 p.m. for a graduation party. They won't be having a ride, but it's a bouncy house, so I guess to the young at heart, that can be considered a ride. They are serving alcohol. It is a private party, and they are not inviting the public, thus term private. I make a motion we approve.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducani?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. We do not have any other old business tonight, so we'll move along to reports and presentations. And Highway Superintendent, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, first I'd like to report that the Highway Department this week has been busy cleaning out snow from the ditches on several roads. I mean, Keller Road, Enther Road, Rockwood Road, Sherrill Road. These are all roads that typically we have problems with water coming out the street when we get heavy melts and heavy rains. And so if we clean the snow out of the ditches, the water flows, and we prevent that from running out in the road, and it definitely helps. If anybody wants to take a ride up and check some of them roads out, that, you know, it looks great. Town has had several snowfalls over the past month. The town roads have been very well plowed. We had some very cold weather this past month also, and lots of the roads are doing a lot of heaving. Town roads are still pretty much pothole free. I cannot really say that for the county roads, but a lot of the roads where we're having the heaving issues are even the new pavement we did down on the Weller subdivision, East Lane, West Lane, Morningside, Pinecrest, all those roads, when they put the new sewer lines in a few years ago, they cut the trenches across the road, and every time they do that, they cut the trench across, they fill the stone up, and that part of the road pretty much does not heave, so it stays put. Well, the road on both sides of it, with the cold weather, the frost in the ground, the road heaves. So even after just 1 year, we got lots of cracks going across the road where we had the problem with the roads heaving. And I mean, that happens with pretty much any kind of pavement. And that's one of the reasons why when the town is having new subdivisions put in, like on Deanna Drive, I really want to see the main sewer lines go down each side of the road where they don't have to cut trenches across for every house on the other side of the road. It really doesn't cost any more money, but it definitely saves, there's a lot of roads like Hickory and Woodland, same thing. You drive down the road and it's a bump. You got the bumps where every trench goes across the road. So pretty much town roads are looking good. Hopefully, people got some of their ditches cleaned out in their side yards and backyards, because we're definitely going to have some major melting in the next day with the heavy rains tomorrow. So good luck, and that's all I have tonight. Thank you.
I realize I'm out of order. Can I ask a question? What are the diameter of those sewer lines that you speak of, Superintendent Tlac? How big are the sewer pipes under the road?
The ones that go across on the road are usually like 4-inch service lines that come out of the house and go across, but the trenches are probably 2-foot-wide trenches, you know, where they dig across to get down in there to put the pipes together. And so I would say on the average, most of the time they're all 4-inch sewer pipe with like a 2-foot trench.
Thank you.
Does that sound okay?
Yep. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. We'll look into maybe revising our town code for that as well.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Councilwoman Selby, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor. Yes, when I saw the weather, we were all kind of bracing for this big meltdown and heavy rain. Hopefully it doesn't come too fast and too much at one time that we can handle it. I know it's a concern for a lot of residents, and I really appreciate Bob taking the lead on cleaning up those ditches, because that will certainly help on the town roads. Not so sure about how our county roads are going to hold up, but hopefully, you know, like I said, hopefully it doesn't come too fast and too much at one time that we can handle it. But this is the season. It happens every year. We get the meltdowns, and then we'll get more snow again by the weekend. So everybody, just hang in there. We'll get through it, and it'll be spring soon enough. And I look forward to in-person meetings very soon, too. That's all I have for tonight. Thank you.
All right, Councilman Cardichini, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I echo Kathy's sentiments on getting back to in-person meetings starting in March. Really look forward to that. I'd like to take a moment and welcome Code Enforcement Officer Tom Murphy. He had some correspondence early on in his first few days, and I want to let everybody know that he is full-time. And this is going to be a good development for our town. I'd like to welcome him. And I'd also like to take the opportunity to remind residents that it's against town code and just bad neighbor practice to plow snow across the roadways. During the last couple storms, I've noticed, quite a few that are just taking the plow straight across the road. And, you know, that just creates problems on the road surface. So I'd like to ask respectfully for people to not plow snow across the roads. That's all I have tonight.
Councilwoman Lukacek, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I wanted to take a minute to say thank you to our Code Enforcement Officer, William Ferguson. Thank you for your time and all that you've put into this town. I wish you well in your retirement. And welcome our new Code Enforcer, who is full-time, like Mike had said. Tom Murphy, you're already bringing to light some of the code info that we are looking for to update in our town, make it easier and more readable for all of us. We will be having a planning board meeting on March 8th that will be an in-person meeting. And I believe that is it. Look forward to seeing everyone again in March. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Martin, you have the floor.
As soon as I can unmute myself, because my dog is controlling my arm. I'm also looking forward to getting back in person so I don't have a dog curling around me while I'm trying to concentrate. But our CAC snowshoe event is supposed to be this Saturday, and right now we're just monitoring the weather, because in the event that we have a major meltdown and a lot of rain and not enough snow, we may have to cancel at the last minute. So what I'm asking people to do is, if you're intending on attending that event, check the town website. We'll reach out to Allison if we need to post notice, and also we will post notice on the door if it gets canceled last minute. And then, of course, we're monitoring the redo date to see if we're even going to have good enough weather then as well. There will be a ZBA meeting in person Thursday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. There are currently two petitioners on the agenda, and that's all I have tonight.
All right, thank you. And Town Clerk, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating.
I had received an email from Connect Life by way of Barbara Moore. This is regarding the February 1st blood drive that was here at the town hall. It says, thank you so much for recently sponsoring a blood drive with Connect Life. We truly appreciate all of your hard work and support of our mission. 21 units were collected, and that helped save the lives of 63 local patients. And the next blood drive is Tuesday, March 1st. My town clerk report for January 2022 has been submitted to Supervisor Keating's office. And I do have the public notice that I'd like to read regarding tax collection. A notice is hereby given that the tax roll and warrant for the County of Erie and the Town of Boston for the year 2022 has been received, and all persons and corporations named herein are required to pay the taxes on said rolls. I will maintain office hours to receive taxes at the Boston Town Hall, 8500 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025, on all taxes paid on or before March 15th, 2022. General office hours will be Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. Extended hours will be Saturday, March 12th, 9 to noon, Monday, March 14th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Tuesday, March 15th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Partial payment of taxes is available, so if you have any questions, please give my office a call at 941-6113, extension 5. Tax information may also be obtained through our website, townofboston.com. There is a drop box to the left of the front door at the Boston Town Hall for your convenience. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few things tonight. Not a whole lot. I agree with all the board members. I just make the announcement now. Is that in February. February is almost gone. March, we will begin going back to in-person meetings, thankfully. And so our first town board meeting of March will be March 2nd, which is the first board meeting. And that would also hold true for planning board, zoning board, and conservation advisory council meetings. So, you know, we'll continue to monitor the COVID situation and any further emergency orders or guidance from the state or county, but we will hope that we are over that hurdle, so to speak, and we'll continue to be able to meet back in person. So looking forward to that as well, the rest of the board by the sounds of it. On the note of COVID, I'll be really happy to stop talking about this too. The town of Boston did receive an allotment of COVID test kits and masks. There was not a all call from Code Red that went out to public, but it was posted to the social media and town website. But if residents are interested in N95 masks, the town of Boston received approximately 10,000 N95 masks. They're in boxes of 20. One box is being given out per parcel, at least at this time. And then also COVID at-home test kits. We were provided a little over 650 test kits. Again, they've been distributed since this past Monday, but if residents need them, they can stop by the town clerk's office or my office downstairs, the supervisor's office, and the residents can collect them there. moving along, one of the things that's coming up next week is the Association of Towns annual conference. I will say Boston is being pretty well represented this year. I know we've got quite a few people attending. I'm certainly excited to even see that. Hopefully next year it'll be back in person as well, but right now it's actually virtual. So while the town hall is closed next Monday for President's Day, some of us will be serving the public and sitting through courses to best serve our communities. I did want to also say, I know the Hambridge Sun picks up on our town board meetings. Mike Petro from the Hambridge Sun at Buffalo News had reached out to me and other municipal leaders. There will be a column coming from me in the near future. It's set to be released at the end of the month, but there'll be a column specific to Town of Boston. The first two items that I discussed in the column was the waste management at your door service, which has been going over very well for the community, but just to continue to kind of publicize that that initiative. And then also the town's initiative this year that we were able to secure grant funding for the updated comprehensive plan. We will be reaching out to the public in the very near future, looking for people to sit on committees and be part of this. There will be, of course, public hearings. But that is also something that I decided to put in that first column out to the public. If there's something somebody would like to see me talk about or, you know, hear more about, feel free to call. I put all my contact information in that first column, and we'll probably continue to do so. I talked about that. And that's all I have for tonight. So I look forward to being back in person. It's 7:56 p.m. I make a motion to end the meeting.
A second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carotakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating? She's waiting for you, Jason.
I know, sorry.
There you go.
She's so glad to get rid of the technology. Yeah, yes.
Great, thank you. Councilwoman Lokacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting.